Nehemiah 8, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood these 13 guys. And in verse 5, then Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads in worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Yeshua, Benai, and all these helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly, verse 8, from the book, in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Again, Lord, we turn to you. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you help us understand and rest in you and your spirit. And Lord, willingly follow you according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We pick up here in actually chapter 7 of Nehemiah. You know, in spite of all the opposition that came against Nehemiah and the people, they built the wall. The Bible says it took them 52 days. They completed the wall. And chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors. Nehemiah hung the doors, did the finishing touches when the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed. Then I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was faithful, man of fear God more than many. Turning over the position or the authority of the city to his brother, a man that feared God, the Bible says that he finally completed the wall. And then chapter 7 in verse 5 talks about, God put it in Nehemiah's heart to make a register of genealogy. And that's really what chapter 7 covers, the people there and the total priests, the men of Israel, servants and singers. And then he lists them. Little did they know that their name would be recorded in God's word, Here we see Nehemiah finishing the wall, kind of like the material aspects, completed. They focus on the spiritual. The people come to, Ezra, actually, in verse 1, chapter 8. I like this because the people initiated this. Some preachers say this is like the ideal church service because the people were so hungry. The people were attentive The people wanted God's word. They were responsive. But notice how it begins. They come to Ezra. They're hungry. They say, man, they gathered as one. The Bible said there's unity. And they came to Ezra and they said, bring the scroll. Bring the book. Now today, we bring our own Bibles to church. BYOB. And during that time, that could be maybe the only copy of God's word in the whole city of Jerusalem. Bring it. Read it. They hungered, initiating the assembly, the meeting. In verse 2, the Bible says that those who gathered were, classified as all who could hear with understanding. Now, literally, that means most likely that they were literate. They understood the language. So, but in truth, anybody with half a brain would want to listen to the scripture, what the Bible says. They gathered there. They asked Ezra, bring the word and read the word. The Bible says that those who could understand, two times mention this group. You think about those that receive or that understand God's word. If you're in that company, God's word is opened to you. You're blessed. There's so many people when you share the scripture with them, they're like, yeah, but. They want to argue. They want to focus on some kind of controversy, dispute, problem, argument. They're not so blessed. Maybe their eyes haven't been open yet. But for those of us who do see God's word and hear his word, we're in a blessed company. Those that could understand, ask Ezra to come share the word. In verse 3, it says that they were attentive from morning till noon. They listened to Ezra read the scripture. Ezra was a scribe, you remember, and a priest, well qualified to open up the scripture. In verse 5, the Bible says that, when Ezra opened up the book or the scroll, that the people stood up. It's like a show of reverence or honor towards the word, towards the Lord. These people, they're hungry, seeking the Lord. In verse 6, the Bible says that they worship God. They bowed their heads, worshiped the Lord, raised their hands. The people were wanting to hear the truth. They could understand the truth. They were receivers of the truth. They could hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. And they wanted to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. Interesting, because Ezra, again, he's a priest. He's a scribe. He opened the book. He read it from morning till noon. In verse 7, at the end of verse 7, chapter 8, it says that the Levites helped the people to understand what was read, what was in the book. Look at verse 8, chapter 8. The Bible says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Distinctly. Ezra opened up the book. Stayed upon the book, read from the book. This word distinctly in other translations, is clearly. He just opened and read clearly and simply from the book, from the Bible. What God's people wanted. They were hungry. The Levites helping the people understand. Ezra reading distinctly from the book, gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Ezra, sharing the word accurately, clearly, simply. The transmission of the word, important, to get it directly, exclusively, distinctly from the word, the truth. transmission must be good. The receiving must be good. You know, you got a combination there. If you're open to what God says, having ears to hear. Ezra, speaking, giving the sense to helping the people understand, feeding them, satisfying their hunger with God's word, sharing God's word. In the text, opening up the Bible, reading the law, you know, word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, just quoting the scripture, reading the scripture, and making it plain. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, for us, we're to make sure that the transmission is good. You know, we can be good receivers, you know, we can have ears to hear, but we're to make certain that the preacher's right. The Bible tells us, you know, to test the spirits, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You know, we're to search the script. Well, turn to Acts chapter 17. Look at a group of people. Paul came, shared the truth, shared the scripture, and their response. In Acts 17, look in verse 11. Speaking of the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. It's up to us, you know, to make certain that the word and the transmission, the sharing of the word, is in line with the Spirit of God, that it's true, the Spirit of truth. They did in Berea. They searched the scripture to see if these things were true, proving all things, holding fast to that which was good. You know, it's like a receiver that, you know, tuned into the right station. No distortion. You hear, Judge Judy always says, you know, put your listening ears on. They had their listening ears on. They were tuned in to what the Spirit of the Lord was saying through the plain and simple reading of the Scripture. And they were of the blessed lot that they could understand. They could hear. Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," in the book of Revelation. You know, and if you do, he says to the first church, you know, I'll give you the tree of life. You'll have eternal life. You'll be pardoned from hell. If you listen to what God says, if you do what he's calling us to do, to follow him, to believe in him, to trust in him, we reap. He helped them to understand clearly. He gave the sense of it, the Bible says. You know, the last thing that we need is my ideas, my opinions, my thoughts. But we absolutely, certainly need his. So it's the preacher's responsibility to share simply, clearly, explain, give the sense of it. What is God saying to me? What does God want of me? What does God require of me? What does the Bible say? And Ezra did just that. Simply opening up the scriptures, clearly, plainly stating what was in the scriptures. You know, kind of like a revival here broke out, a little Bible conference. They were attentive. You know, it's difficult, you know, from this perspective to watch, you know, a group and you're sharing. And people got that blank look on their face. They're kind of looking at you in a daze. They're really not tuned in. You know, some people are sleeping. And yet here, this group were attentive. You know, and from morning till noon, 3-4 hours. You know, I'm excited. You know, we're going through Romans on Wednesday night. And I think Romans explains our faith greater than any book in the Bible. And, you know, to have an understanding heart and hunger to know what God says about our faith. And then, you know, I look at it differently. It isn't me explaining, you know, what God says. It's God speaking. It's almost like we could put out on the marquee, you know, revival, Paul the Apostle. Romans. Or this morning, Nehemiah. What is Nehemiah saying to us, you know, the body, to our hearts? Here, they got a revival that breaks out here. Listening to the word, hungering for the word, attentive to the word. And the Bible says that how they responded to the message. You know, they were convicted. You know, as the word convicts us, it grips our heart, it exercises our conscience. In verse 9, the Bible says that they heard the word. They wept. They mourned when they heard the words of the law. The Bible says that of itself, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the joints and the marrow. It's cutting, piercing, alive, powerful. God's word should be to those who have ears to hear. The Bible says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's speaking through his word by his spirit to us, shows us what's in our heart, shows us the intents of why we do what we do, cutting our heart, gripping our heart, exposing our heart. And when they started hearing God's word, they began to wept. They cried. They were mourning because they were cut. But Nehemiah comes on the scene now, and he admonishes them in verse 10. Don't weep. Don't cry. This isn't the day to cry. You know, you're cut. You feel convicted about your sin. Don't weep. Don't mourn. It's a holy day. He said, eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's like celebrate. Give portions. Share. Share what you've received. He's telling them to celebrate. You know, interesting, you know, God's plan in his law, you know, even though it's heavy truth, it's convicting and gripping truth, God's word made plain. Yet, over and over again, God instituted feasts. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be glad. Over and over again in the Psalms, be glad, be joyful, rejoice. And I say again, rejoice. Here, Nehemiah tells them, you know, don't mourn, don't weep, eat the fat. Eat. Don't worry about the carbs. Eat the fat. Enjoy the flavor. We went to Izzy's yesterday, and boy, did we eat the fat. We got some white gravy, and, you know, I mean, you can feel it just sink into your stomach as you're eating it. Delicious. Eat the fat. You know, don't worry about it. Celebrate. Drink the sweet. You know, don't sorrow. You know, you ever make watermelon juice? Put some watermelon in a blender? Oh, man, is that the best drink. So thirst-quenching. So sweet. It's delicious. Drink the sweet. Eat the fat. Some barbecue. Enjoy. Share. He said, this is not the day to cry. Stop crying. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's a day to mourn, and there's a day to laugh. There's a day to weep, and there's a day to dance. But this day, he says, don't mourn, don't cry. Rejoice. As he's encouraging them, admonishing them, it's a time to rejoice, be happy, be glad. You know, there's two extremes that Alexander McLaren points out in his commentary. He says that, you know, when, you know, people have about serving God, following God, one is like in an asceticism. That means, you know, like to deprive your flesh. I shouldn't enjoy life. I shouldn't do anything that's fun. And, you know, they end up or have this like monk mentality as if that's God's plan. But God desires that we enjoy life. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. The other extreme is to look at life as if it's supposed to be all pleasurable. And, you know, you start eating like in a sensual way. Oh, is that good? As if you're drawing life out of your food. That's the other extreme. You know, truth is in in the middle or in the balance. But he admonishes them, you know, stop crying. Let's go on. Nehemiah, you recall, his name means comfort of Jehovah. He's a type of the Holy Spirit. And being a type of the Holy Spirit, when he comes on the scene, it's interesting. He comes on the scene and says, hey, don't cry. Be happy. Be glad. Rejoice. You see the truth. You know him. You have eternal life. This isn't a day to cry and be mournful and sorrowful. Be glad, man. And, you know, so does the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, to his disciples the night of his arrest, he said, I'm going to leave. You guys are going to be sorrowful. But joy is coming in the morning. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll fill you with all truth. He'll enlighten your understanding. He'll bring joy. And the joy that I give to you, no man can take away. How the Holy Spirit desires to bring joy and contribute to our lives. Here, Nehemiah, type of the Spirit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit, Bible says. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. In verse 10, chapter 8, he said, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to those from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength, the joy of the Lord. I like those that claim his word, stand on his word, even when they're not feeling good. How you feeling, man? The joy of the Lord is my strength. When inside, you're not feeling well. But in truth, what you can claim, all the promises in God are yes and amen to those who are in Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah admonishes them. There in verse 12, notice. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood these words. You know, those that gathered are ones that can understand. He spoke in a way to bring understanding. They left with understanding, greatly rejoicing. Hey, they received the portion God wanted to give them. As a result, they understood, rejoicing greatly. We understand, you know, what God wants to give us. We understand that we've been accepted in him. You know that it's we're accepted in the Beloved. We no longer have to strive for acceptance. You know, we have been accepted. We've been pardoned, the Bible tells us. We've been exonerated from hell. We're not going to hell. We're not striving not to go to hell. He's pardoned us. He's freed us. The Bible tells us we've been justified by faith because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've been pardoned, made right, justified. Because they understood, they left away greatly rejoicing. Let's stand. Jeremiah says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? One account or story, Ken Ortiz, the Calvary Chapel pastor in Spokane, Washington, went through, actually experienced. He was at Calvary Chapel, and then he decided, you know, I kind of like the church growth of a seeker-friendly church. So he laid down the whole platform of expounding from the Word, you know, simply going through the Word. And he picked up this new, you know, seeker-friendly. They had the plays and the singing and the, you know, more easy, palatable church service. And he says, the first thing I noticed, people stopped bringing their Bibles. You know, no one was carrying their Bibles anymore. Became fun. He was convicted. At the pastor's conference, we seen him. he was confessing humbly, you know, I went in the wrong direction. I returned. And he says, you know, when I did, you know, half the church emptied out. They didn't want the strength or the word again. Simple, plain truth of the word. But he says that, you know, he never can match that. You know, when you're got their attention and you're sharing, and then you say, you know, turn to, you know, Acts 17:11, and there's a hush over the auditorium, and you can hear all the pages in the Bible flipping. It's almost like that's what it's all about. You know, hearing from him, looking to hear from him, having ears to hear from him, having a good receiver and being tuned in to the right station. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you desire that we understand your truth. Lord, do make us a people who understand what you're saying. And Lord, receive what you're saying, that we might go away greatly rejoicing, having understood what you're trying to tell us. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your plan. And Lord, line us up to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word, simply read and explained clearly, was all that they wanted. And it's all that we need, God's truth. May the Spirit of truth be around and on and in you, giving you an appetite and a hunger, an unquenchable appetite for his word, that we might seek him with ears to hear and an understanding, that he'd open up our understanding, that we would hear from him and respond to him, to follow him, to love him, to fulfill our calling from him. In Jesus' name, amen.